Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for a living.
I'm so excited to be with you. I'm so excited to be able to bring the word so that you and I can get fed together. Amen. Amen. Tonight I want to bring our text out of the book of Matthew, chapter 8. Starting with verse 23. While you are searching in your Bible or looking in your smartphone or on your tablet, I just want to say praise the living God that Dorian did not come this way. I've got family in Fort Pierce. I know many of you probably have family on the East Coast. And I was scared. I'm not going to lie. But the mighty hand of God, nothing can get past it. And I praise the Lord right now for his protection on our state, on our families, on us here in Citrus County. Amen. So the book of Matthew chapter 8. Starting with verse 23, it reads, "After Jesus left in a boat with his disciples, a terrible storm suddenly struck the lake, and waves started splashing into the boat." Now, I'm no professional fisherman or professional sailor or captain, but I could imagine that water inside the boat is not a good thing. Can I get someone to amen that? Jesus was sound asleep, so the disciples went over to him and woke him. They said, "Lord, save us. We're going down." And actually, it probably went like this. "Lord, save us. We're going to die." Because I'm telling you right now, the way that we read some scripture in our minds, you got to think, these guys were probably in a Cat 5 hurricane on the middle of this lake. And they weren't going to be like, "Hey, Jesus, excuse me." Like, "Jesus, I need you right now." But they woke him up and said, "Lord, save us because we're going down." But Jesus replied, "Why are you so afraid?" Now, I believe he was that calm. "Why are you so afraid? You surely don't have much faith." Then he got up and ordered the wind. Somebody say ordered. And the waves to calm down, and everything was calm. The men in the boat were amazed and said, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey the sound of his voice." Lord, we thank you for this beautiful evening that you've given to us to worship you. And Lord, right now I pray that as we dig into your word, God, that your spirit would dwell among your people tonight, God. Give us fresh revelation, God. Lord, as we take the meat off of the bones tonight, God, I pray that you would preach through me the word that you would have to deliver tonight, God. Lord, I pray, God, that you would use me as a conduit, God, that nothing out of my mouth would be from Joshua Ryle, but it would be straight from the throne room of heaven tonight. I pray that your anointing that binds each and every one of us in this house together right now would sit on our shoulders and would rest on us tonight, God. Lord, that we would go deeper and deeper into your presence. God, as you call us forward, bring us into glory and then into more glory in the mighty name of Jesus. We bind every assignment of the enemy. Satan, I serve notice on you, and the blood of Jesus is against you. And I declare right now that the blood of Jesus that heals and cleanses and washes away would saturate us tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Now I want to revisit that last verse, chapter 8, verse 27. And it says, go ahead and throw it up there for me. It says, "The men in the boat were amazed and said, 'Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him.'" Now, I like what's being done right there, because I looked over and Mark writes about the same situation that they went through. And I like how Matthew puts, "and the men." He didn't want to say, "and we." But if I had walked every day with Jesus and saw him open blind eyes and saw him raise people from the dead. And I seen him heal and set free and deliver. And I questioned his ability to keep me safe. I probably wouldn't put my name in the blank either. I'd be like, hey, listen, I'm just writing this for future references. Those men that were in the boat with him. Ain't none of y'all on my level. You know that. I know y'all would have wrote your name on the book. I know y'all would have put yourself in there. But anyways, I want to tell you a story tonight about a consumer flight pilot that was flying from Portland, Maine over to Boston. And on his flight, he was flying and he heard this loud knocking coming from the back of the plane. So he gets up, and as he's getting up, he's sending all of his controls over to his co-pilot, and his co-pilot takes over the controls and is flying, and the pilot, by the name of Henry Dempsey got up and walked to the back of the plane. And as he walked to the back and he got back there, the co-pilot hit a little bump of turbulence. And needless to say, the pilot, Mr. Dempsey, found out what was rattling so loudly in the back of the plane. It was the back door that the people at the airport didn't close correctly, and it wasn't all the way closed. So Mr. Dempsey fell out of the airplane, going 200 miles an hour at 4,000 feet in the air. Immediately, the red light came on that the door was open, and the co-pilot saw that there was a door open, and the first thing he did, he didn't even look back and ask if Henry was back there. He said he got on the controls, and he got to the closest airport, and he said, I need to make an emergency landing. My pilot's fallen out of the plane, and I need a helicopter. He gave him the coordinates, the longitude and the latitude of where he had fell out, and said, I need a helicopter out there to look for his body. Well, when the plane landed, they found Mr. Dempsey hanging on for dear life on the ladder in the back of the plane. It says that the reporters reported that there were multiple there were multiple airport personnel. How hard is that to remember? There was multiple airport personnel that took about 10 minutes just to pry his fingers off of the ladder. Tonight, I want to talk to you a little bit about dodging the storm and raging headaches. There are times in our lives where we're facing a huge storm that is just building and festering right in front of our eyes. And then after God delivers us from that storm and we're thankful and we praise God for everything that he's done and he's delivered us from, like Dorian, I can't help but say thank you again, God. But when he does something for us and it's just undeniable that God did that, and then you stub your toe and you lose all the victory. You ready just to throw in the towel. I ain't even going to church today. Amen. But this is a picture of endurance. And endurance is the ability to hang on when it would have been easier to just let go. And so tonight I just want to pray over you guys and speak over your lives. The ability to hang on like Henry did, going 200 miles an hour, 4,000 feet in the air, looking at all that water and land beneath you, knowing that it could be just like that, but to have the strength to hold on, that when we find you after the storm, we have to pry your fingers off of the ladder. Come on, somebody, help me testify tonight. I want somebody in this house to leave here tonight with some faith and some endurance that no matter what comes your way, you're going to grab hold of the altar and the horns of the altar of the living God and tell the devil to pack a lunch, because no matter what he throws your way, no matter what comes to you, you're going to sit there, you're going to stand, you're going to be in the presence of God and know that God is God and beside him there is no other, and that what he said, each and every single one of us are going to do, we're going to do it. No matter what kind of detour we take. Endurance, the power of going on in spite of difficulty. Popular phrases that can describe it are keep on keeping on. If you have ever said any of these little phrases here, I want you to just go ahead and give me an amen, all right? Just keep on keeping on. Amen. Amen. Just hang in there. Amen. Just put up with it. Yeah, there's a lot less of that one. Amen. I'm guilty. Stick-to-itiveness. Got to have some stick-to-itiveness. Amen. Don't quit. Let me encourage some of you tonight. Don't quit. Some of its synonyms are determination, perseverance, tenacity, plodding, stamina, and having a solid backbone. And I believe that if we were to ask old Henry, he would say, it's just hanging on for dear life, baby. All right. Have you ever felt like right before the storm, you see that storm just brewing and festering up, and you just see how nasty and gross and dangerous it is, and you just see how it's just building and getting bigger and bigger before your eyes, and the faith of God just rises up inside of you, and you feel like feathers on an eagle. Like Isaiah said, you would rise up on wings of eagles, and you just feel like a whole slew of feathers that just are sewn on tight to an eagle, and then after the storm, you just feel like fish food. Ain't none of y'all ever been there, but I've been there a time or two. I'm not even afraid to admit it. There have been times in my life where I saw that storm and I said, my God, come my way. And I didn't even know what in the world. I had no idea what I was asking for. I'll tell you right now, after that, I felt like some fish food. I felt like a guppy at the bottom of a fish tank that ain't been cleaned in about 3 months. But I've been there, and I know that many of you have. And if you haven't, maybe you have family members that have or close friends that have. So in the midst of the storm, we're going to address dodging the storm, because we've dodged the big one, amen? Dodging the storm, we have got to point number one, accept the unchangeable. See, the thing is Jesus had spoke to the disciples. These are his words. Come, let's go to the other side. Let's go. We're going to go to the other side. And when he said that, right there was provision to get to the other side. No matter what storm came, no matter what wind came, no matter if the Loch Ness Monster pulled up right next to the side of the boat and stuck his head up out of the water, they might have got scared, but it was not going to stop them from getting to the other side of the lake. Can I get somebody to say amen tonight? If you're understanding me. So we got these gentlemen that are going across the lake with Jesus. And so Jesus says, let's go. Jesus, 100% man, also 100% God, was tired. And I've been there also a time or two. And so I can understand where Jesus was at. Because it wasn't like Jesus was just sitting on the boat waiting to cross, and all of a sudden he kind of dozed off a little bit. The Bible specifically says that he had a pillow, and he went to sleep. So he had intentions of, don't wake me up, I'm going to sleep. When we get over there, we're going to do what we do. All right? But in the middle of that, the storm came. And it said that the storm came up very quickly. And Jesus, I believe in my spirit, knew that the storm was going to be there. He didn't have to tell them that it was going to be there. But he knew. But where was their faith? You know what I'm saying? So here we are. We're riding across on a prophetic boat trip across the lake, going to the other side, and a storm comes. And now all of a sudden, every single one of us that's on that boat, we have forgotten the promise of God when he spoke to us and he said that we were going to get to the other side. Amen? William Barclay describes endurance, and I know that on this slide that I have put up, I did not realize how small the lettering was, so I will read it to you. The courageous acceptance of everything life can do to us, can do to us, and the transmitting of even the worst event into another step on the upward way. I'm going to read that one more time, because I know I'm not the best reader. The courageous acceptance of everything life can do to us, and the transmitting of even the worst event into another step on to the upward way. So the disciples had a choice to either trust in what Jesus had said to them, even though, now, I have ADD, and I know what it's like for somebody to tell me to do something, and 5 minutes later, I've forgotten already. I'm just being real. Now, I know ain't none of y'all got that issue, but I struggle with it on the daily, all right? But I know what it's like. Jesus just got done telling. I'm telling you, Jesus just got done casting out devils. Jesus just got done healing the sick. And all of a sudden now I'm scared for my life because a windstorm came up. But Jesus just said that I was going to go over to the other side. Give me a break. Now, I can't say what I would have done because Jesus just said, let's go over. If I was in the boat, I can't say that I would have remembered because I would have been so preoccupied on what was in front of me. But the fact of the matter is, as we look back and we make this life applicable, this is something that we need to put into practice of our own lives. When Jesus says something, we do not need to forget what he said. If you've got a memory like me, my fiance tells me all the time, write stuff down. But I can't tell, family, I'm just going to be transparent. I can't tell you how many planners and how many calendars I've bought. And I pulled one out today from like 2016, and I had one day written in it. I know that's something that you got to work on. But if you ain't got a good memory and I'm preaching to the choir, I'm calling the kettle black and I'm the pot or however you want to look at me, I'm telling you right now that if you hear a word from the Lord, and you don't have a good memory and you know that, write it down. Because if Jesus said it, it's going to happen. Amen? So I just want to go ahead and say that as we are in this boat ride together and this storm comes up, there are things in life, circumstances that cannot be prevented. Things in life happen. Stuff happens that we have no control over. And it's up to us to do the best that we can do as mighty creations of the Most High God. To press on. I've heard Bishop say it time and time again. And he said it in one sense, but I've taken what he said and put it into my life. If you feel like you can't go another day, go another second, go another minute, go another hour, you'll get days will turn into weeks, weeks to months. If you feel like you're weak and you're ready to give up, I'm just telling you right now there's fresh oil that it's on its way to you. And I want to let you know that there is no storm that can conquer you. No matter what waves come over your boat, no matter whether it's salt water, no matter whether it's fresh water, whether it's water that's been in some stagnant pond for 100 years, or whether it's water that's came straight out of Three Sisters Spring, no matter what water comes into your boat, it will not sink you if the Lord has promised you that you will get to the other side. But there are things and circumstances that are inevitable. Sometimes life is not fair. Injustices creep into everyone's arena. And sometimes, in one way or another, sometimes you fall out of the airplane on accident without a parachute. and you stuck on a ladder going 200 miles an hour, 4,000 feet in the air. I'm just trying to repeat that a couple times because I want you guys to know that man was hanging there for 10 minutes going 200 miles an hour. But sometimes you can't control what happens. Family members pass on. Jobs are lost. Friends are lost. Friends are made. Sometimes you wish you wouldn't have made those friends, and then you try to lose them. Things happen that you cannot control, but it's how you play your hand that counts and that matters. And when you look at what God has given you, now I've said many of times just here in the short few moments we've been here that if God has said something to you that you can write it down, it's going to happen. And you say, well, Pastor Josh, God hasn't really spoken anything to me, but I just want to tell you that you have, and you, he has, and you might just not know that he has, because I'm not trying to get you to shout right now, but I'm telling you that the word of God is the word of life. It is God speaking to us, hearing by the word of God, all right? So if you say, well, God hasn't promised me that I'm going to get to the other side, he's saying it right now. No matter what you're facing, the word of God is saying that you are an overcomer. You are a conqueror. You are a child of the King. You are healed. You are delivered. You are set free. You are alive. All right? So if you feel like God hasn't, and I want to challenge you tonight. If you feel like God hasn't spoken to you, get into your word. Now, I'm telling you right now, I've been very transparent with you guys. But I read out of the contemporary English version. I'm telling you, it's bad. But, you know, hey, there's a verse in Proverbs that says, and the contemporary says, stay away from people that say, hey, let's gang up and go kill somebody. I said, I can relate to that. So I'm telling you, if you can't understand the word, the more that you read it, the more you can understand it, okay? I know there's a lot of these and thous. There's a lot of stuff that might not make sense. But if you get a version that you understand, there's a lot of people that say, you know, well, you have to use the King James version, or you have to at least use the New King James. I'm going to tell you right now, if there is a theological issue coming out of what version of the Bible that you're reading, as long as it's the Word of God, electronically. Oh, Gypsy's got. Oh, King Papa. James. Oh, King James. The real Bible. And Jesus signed that one, didn't he? So, anyways. All right. So, but I grew up on the King James version. So I like the I like the King James. I grew up on it. You know. But the contemporary English, anyways. So, if you feel like that God hasn't spoken to you or given you a word, let me encourage you. Find a Bible that is easy to understand and get into it. Because I'm telling you, he will speak to you. The closer you draw to him, the clearer his voice is. And he is speaking to us every day. He's speaking to us right now. Amen? So, there are things that we come into contact with in our lives that might try to hinder us from the assignment of what God has called us to do. At the job site, at the house, at the church, driving down the road. Things happen every day that try to stop us because the Bible says that the enemy is like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's fake. Like. He ain't a roaring lion. If he was a lion, yeah, we'd have something to worry about. But he's just like, you know, anyway, so the situations that happen to us in our life, this has been in my heart all day, this right here. Situations that happen in our lives that we can't control, we have to play it by the word of God. And to somebody that doesn't understand the word of God, somebody that might come to church, somebody that might not live the Word of God outside of church, somebody that might not ever really read the Bible, they might say, well, there's a lot of regulations and a lot of rules, and I can't do all that in one day. But I'm telling you right now, it's quite simple. Because I can tell you, there was a time in my life where I was strung out on powder cocaine, and I couldn't do anything but crave this drug that had held me captive. I couldn't do anything to break it. I remember I was in Fort Pierce, and I was walking north on A1A, and I jumped over to the beach, and I'm walking up the beach, and I'm just delusional. I grew up in church. I knew Jesus. I knew who he was. I gave my heart to Christ for real, at 12 years old, and I accepted the calling to preach at 16 years old, well, full-time ministry, and so I knew God. I knew God when I was going out stealing from people. I knew God when I was drinking. I knew God when I was drugging, and there was something that was inside of me that I just said, I cannot do this anymore. I can't do it anymore. But when I just did one simple thing, call on the name of the Lord. Now, I'm not saying right then and right there on the beach is when it happened. But when I called on the name of the Lord, he is faithful to do what he said. And I stand here in front of you today, set free and delivered from cocaine. I don't desire it anymore because I declared over my life the power and the blood of Jesus. Simple. It starts with one or two things. And I can encourage you to go ahead and just start with one of the power hitters. Call on the name of the Lord. When it's hard, when you feel like you can't press on, call on the name of the Lord. But when you live your life according to the Word of God, things begin to shift. God begins to pull you from glory to glory. What does that mean, Pastor Josh? That means that I'm satisfied with where I'm at, but God's not satisfied with me from where I'm at right now. God says, I've got something new for you just on the other side, and it's going to blow your mind. I've got something new for you after that. Once you think you're settled there and you're ready to stay there, there's something else for you. And the problem is that when we're facing storms in life, we like to distort our vision and our focus. The enemy tries to come in and distort and blur our vision of the storm. Because I can tell you a time in my life where every time there was a hurricane, I had a hurricane party. And I just wanted to drink and drug all night, the night before, and pretend. Somebody needs to hear what I'm saying right now. Pretend that the wind and the danger that was coming my way wasn't real. Coming into a hurricane season, stocking up on all the alcohol, stocking up on all the drugs, because when your phone dies and you ain't got no power, you can't call the drug dealer. So you gotta just get a whole bunch of drugs and get a whole bunch of alcohol and have this huge party, and you're gonna just tear it up. You living your best life, and the storm comes, and then all of a sudden your house blows down and you wasn't even ready for it, because the enemy is trying to blind us to the fact that the danger of what is out there is serious. And so when you put your trust in Bud Light, a Bud Light bottle is not going to hold up your house, but I can tell you that just the voice of God will put a force field around your house, your neighbor's house, my family's house on the other side of the coast. It don't matter how much you drink. It don't matter how much you smoke. It don't matter how many pills you take. It don't matter how many drugs you inject. The storm is still coming. And so you need to make sure that you put your faith and your trust in Jesus. And I'm not talking about this faith that is saying, I do, but as soon as you walk out those doors, you drugging it up and you drinking. Because, honey, I can tell you right now, that was me. I used to do that on the daily. Every single Sunday, I would never smoke before church. But as soon as church was over, I'd be lighting one up because I was ready to do some drugs. And there are some people in society today that believe that because they go to church once in a while, or they go to church every single Sunday, but then they go out and they do what they do, that it evens out and it's okay. But it's not. So I just want to say that it doesn't matter what you do, if your faith and your trust is not in the name of Jesus, The storm is dangerous. Water inside the boat is no good. Hanging on for dear life on the back of an airplane going 200 miles an hour, 4,000 feet in the air, without the name of Jesus. I'm telling you, that's dangerous right there. James chapter 1 and verse 2 says it like this: and when all kinds of trials crowd into your life, my brothers and my sisters, don't resent them as intruders, but welcome them as friends and realize they have come to test your endurance. But let the process go on until the endurance is fully developed. Don't just start and quit, start and quit, start and quit, because you'll never get anywhere. Until the endurance, somebody say endurance, is fully developed, and you will find you have become men and women of mature character. And I can tell you right now that James knew what he was talking about, because there are times where I have, since I've moved to Crystal River, I have taken some obstacles that have come my way in my mind that I just felt like giving up, and I just wanted to give up, and I just wanted to, you know, but I knew that God opened the door. And I, listen, I'm telling you, I really just hear my heart, all right? I knew that God had opened this door at Crystal River Church of God. And for somebody that might not be very influenced or know Crystal River Church of, or I mean, know the Church of God in a whole, Crystal River Church of God in Florida is a big deal. Amen. And for somebody like me, that's just a mess up. For this door to open for me, no, there's no way. And so I held on to the promise of God. And I'm a heck of a lot farther today than I was 5 years ago when I came. I've still got some growing to do, but I know that I'm more mature than I was 5 years ago. And there are some of you in this house that you can look back over your life and just see where you came from, whether if it was 2 weeks ago or 25 years ago. But it just blows your mind that God took me and used me and is using me like he's doing. So when things come, don't be afraid. Don't just shut it out. Call on the name of the Lord. Have the strength and the endurance and see it through. Because when you get to the end of your trial, when you get to the end of your storm, there's somebody at the other end of your storm that is waiting for you. Amen. Jesus and the disciples are going across the lake, and the storm comes. And if the disciples would have let their doubt and their fear capsized the boat, they would have never made it to the two men that were practically walking around haunted houses with a ton of demons torturing them. When they get to the other side of the boat, when they get to the other side of the lake in the boat, they come across these two men that were very, very possessed. Not just one, but multiple. I'm going to back up. So point number two is this: you have to adjust to your obstacles. Sometimes, if the wind's blowing you left, instead of just fighting with it and being hard-headed, sometimes if the wind's blowing you left, just go ahead and that's y'all's right, but that's my left. Go on, just go with it. Because if God promised you, amen, sometimes if the wind's blowing you right, I'll do it for y'all this time. If God's blowing you right, if the wind is blowing you right, sometimes just go with it. Because sometimes the more that you fight and the more aggravated you get because the obstacles, the boat is going left and right, water's coming inside the boat, and you just feel like there's no relief, that everything is crashing against you and you just can't catch a breath. And the more aggravated you get, the more ready you are just to jump over. So the peace of God that surpasses understanding will help you in every storm that you have. Don't allow intrusions to distort and disfigure your life. There are circumstances that appear in our lives that would try to set us off track from getting to the other side. There are people, and I hate to say that, there are people that are in our lives that would try to stop you from getting to the other side. But it's important to not be distracted, to stay focused, get to the other side. If it's blowing you left, go left. If it's blowing you right, go right. Because I'm telling you right now, when you get to the other side, you'll say, what a ride that was. That was fun. Not really. But you'll look back and say, man, God, you are faithful. You are just faithful. Why not transform these obstacles into growth blocks by learning to adjust? And someone in this house might say, well, Pastor Josh, I'm going to tell you right now. I have never in my life gone through a storm because I must be doing it all right. I must got it all together. I must be doing something right because God has led me to dodge every single storm that has come my way. Last hurricane season, I didn't have not one shingle fall off of my roof. Well, no duh, because you got a tin roof. But anyways, last year, my family, we was prosperous and we had all the money. We hit the lottery and we won all the money. And see, I don't ever have a struggle and I've never been through a storm. So Pastor, I can't even relate to you. Well, for this is coming from my heart. So I want you to hear and see my heart. The thing is that right before we talked about Jesus getting into the boat, there was this young man that came up and said, hey, Jesus, I want to get on the boat with you. I want to go with you. And Jesus said, no, you ain't ready for this. So if you've never had a storm, maybe it's because the Bible does declare that there is this protection around us as children of God. There's this protection that God will not put anything on us more than we can handle. So those of you, I just want to commend those of you that are going through the storm, that are just pressing on, that are going pressing towards the mark of the high calling, no matter what storm comes your way, no matter what tornado, no matter what earthquake hits you. The fact of the matter is that when you are going through the storm, you're strong enough to handle it. And that's the word of the God. That's the word of God. Matthew chapter 8, verses 20. We've got to stand firm with patience. How many of y'all know that there are some people in your life that really try your patience? I mean, take your patience and it's like when you're holding the rubber band and then someone comes up and just pulls the other end of the rubber band and you're like, you better stop. You better stop. I'm not playing with you. If you let go of that rubber, pow! And none of y'all know about that. And the reason why I know about that is because I'm the patience trier most of the time. Not on purpose, I promise. Not on purpose. But there are some people that try your patience. And someone once said that you can do anything that you put your mind to if you just have enough patience. You could even carry your water in a sieve if you let it freeze. If you let it freeze, you can carry it anywhere you want to go. But I'll tell you this right now. If I'm wrong, you can email it to me. But the thing is, I'm not telling you my email. So good luck with that one. But I'll tell you this, that I bet that 99.9% of us in this room right now lack the patience that it takes to sit there and wait for water to freeze. I know I don't. Hey, give me about 2 minutes and I'm out. I'm gone. And we've got to have some patience. And so we pray, God, give me patience, but I want it right now. How does that, sound familiar? Because normally we don't pray for patience until we need it. Now, I was also instructed, if I can say that, that you pray for patience, but don't pray for patience because God will give it to you. You desire patience. You need to work your life being patient. It's something that is attained, not something that you just pray for, because it's something that will draw everything out of you. And so don't go around praying for patience. But if you do, don't expect it. I'm just trying to be real with you, family. But there are some people in our lives that we have got to be patient with. Because just because some people get on our last nerves doesn't mean that we don't need to be the light in their dark path. There's a phrase that is said a lot, that we are sometimes the only Bible, walking Bibles, that somebody might read. But I like, and that's very true, but I like to look at it like this. We're the only light that some people in the dark ever see. And I'm going to tell you right now, if all these lights were off right now, and I turned my flashlight on my phone, and I hid somewhere, and then like you just saw the light off in the distance, and I said, all right, real talk, no joke, I've got a $100 bill, and who the first one to come get it in the dark, follow this light, I bet you, maybe not everybody might run, but there'll be some people that would run as fast as they could out of the darkness. So if you are a light in the darkness, all it's got to be is just for somebody to be able to see the light. Amen? All right, so there are some things that you can't learn patience from, like reading a book. Unless the book is so boring that you have to get to the end of it and force yourself to read the end to the end. All right? There are things that you can't learn patience through, like fishing, even if you've never caught anything in your entire life. Me, I'm a professional fisher. I specialize in catching rockfish. I'll tell you a quick story. When I was in Okeechobee with my brother, we were in one of the canals, and we were fixing up a cabin that his family owned, and we went down, and I was off the dock, and I was pulling the bluegill like it was nobody's business. I was just plopping them back. And then all of a sudden, I just seen this, like, it's probably about 6.5 to 7 foot gator swimming on the tree line on the other side of the water. Well, the next morning, we get out, we go out into the lake, and then we're, I don't even know what canal we were on, but we get out there and we're fishing, and I'm using my brother's pin reel, and I throw it in there, and I cast in, phew, right on the tree line, boom, it was good. And I was like, oh, I'm going to get me a 15-pounder right here. And I start reeling it in, and that thing goes zzz, and I was like, oh my gosh, I got one right now. Zzz, the line breaks. It was a tree branch, by the way. The line breaks. My brother's pole goes that way into the outside of the canal. I fall in by the tree line. When I go into the water, all I can see in my mind is that 7-foot alligator that was on that canal bank. That probably wasn't even the same exact canal bank that we were on. But man, I saw it right there, and it was ready to tear me up. And when I came out of the water, my brother said the look of fear in my eyes. He said that if he would have said, Josh, there's an alligator, I probably would have walked on water. But you can't learn patience from fishing, because you'll fall in and almost get eaten by an alligator. But the only way to learn patience is by facing the world, taking life as it comes. Sometimes it's easy. Sometimes it's rough. Sometimes it's just inconvenient. And sometimes it's a knockdown, drag-out, gully washer, Cat 5 hurricane on the middle of a lake when you got Jesus sleeping in the bow of the boat. There are some things that happen to us progressing into the headache part of my message tonight. There are some things that happen to us after we dodged the storm. God delivered us from her mean for the most part. I know there was a lot of tragedy here in Citrus County from her mean, from the swells and the flooding. But during that season, I was working overnight. I was the overnight manager of Dunkin' Donuts, and we don't close for nothing. I mean, nothing. And so I was there. I was prepared. I got all of my shoes up off of the floor. I put them on my bed. Everything that could have got ruined on the floor, because I was expecting the flood. Everything that was in my house, I had it set up. That way, hey, whatever happens, happens. But my belongings, my stuff is good. You know what I'm saying? Because there's nothing more inconvenient than to have a couple inches of water in your house. That's horrible. I go around to the stores. I'm thinking, man, my house is going to be horrible. It's been bad. I get home. Of course it's been raining, but there was water on the ground. But because of some retention ponds, my house didn't even, it was dry. Praise God. I went around shouting, thank you, Jesus. I went around telling people, you know, not to brag, but, you know, praise God. I did, you know, God, you know, delivered me from that. 2 weeks later, my hot water heater broke, and it's inside my house. I had 3 inches of water inside my house. Everything that I had set up on the bed was back on the floor. Tell me how horrible that is. And that got me so aggravated. But God just spared me from a storm, but I'm going to let this little old water heater take the victory away from me. Am I speaking to anybody? You get what I'm saying? We've got to dodge the storm, but the headaches are still going to be there. There are some things that happen in our life that when we dodge the storm and we think that we're up high on the horse now and we can take the world because, you know, we've dodged another one. When we stub our toe or when your hot water heater breaks and ruins everything that's on the floor, you got to take what's been given to you, move forward, do what you do. Be who God's called you to be, mighty man, mighty woman of God, and move forward and live life. Don't let that take your joy. Amen. Amen. There is a precious stone, jewel, that is very looked highly upon called a pearl. And a pearl is the product, of pain. A pearl is a product of pain, an alien substance, a grain of sand slips into the oyster's shell. On the entry of that foreign irritant, all of the resources within the tiny, sensitive oyster rush to the spot that began to release healing fluids that otherwise would have remained dormant. Eventually, the irritant is covered and the wound healed by a pearl. No other gem has such a fascinating history, but it's a symbol of stress. There are some things that had to happen that was very uncomfortable for that beautiful pearl to be made. And there's a pearl inside of us. And it says that eventually the irritant is covered by a sensitive release of healing fluids that otherwise would have remained dormant until that grain of sand came in and just irritated it a little bit. There's a pearl in each and every one of us tonight. Pearls are created out of stress. Pearls are created out of dysfunction. Pearls are conceived through irritation. And they are born in adversity. And I just want to tell somebody in the house tonight that if you feel like your life has just been a joke, that you are a mess up, honey, I want to tell you right now, you are not a mess up. You are a child of God. And tonight, I want to let you know that there is a pearl waiting to be brought out of you. There is nothing in you that is an accident. There is nothing in you that could stop what God is doing. If you've ever felt like you were conceived out of irritation or that you were born out of adversity, there is something in store for you tonight. Amen. Had there never been wounding nor irritation to interrupt your perfect little world, there could never have been a beautiful pearl. Jesus had to deal with people. Jesus had to have patience with people. Jesus had to have patience with religious people. There were some religious people that came and said, "Who do you think you are, God or something? You think you're God or something? You come around here just healing people, open up people's minds." They're in denial. You think you're God because you casted out a devil? Well, the devils can give authority to those that cast out other devils. And so Jesus just got done, first of all, healing all these people. He's tired. He tries to take a nap. Now he's dealing with his disciples' doubt and fear. And now he gets over here, and the people that are supposed to be doing his work and taking care of the temple are giving him a hard time, saying that he's a fake. "Who do you think you are, God or something?" Yeah. And so Jesus is having to deal with people. And it's important for us as people to be loving, to be kind when we don't feel like it. When we really just want to give them a good what for, you know? Just give them a knuckle sandwich. Tell them off a little bit. Say what's really on your mind. Sometimes as Christ followers, we have to be patient, be kind, be tenderhearted, loving, forgiving when there's no need to forgive. You have no reason. You don't have to forgive them, but we are called to forgive. We walk in love. When somebody slaps you as hard as they can on the cheek, I mean, you just gotta pray for patience. Because I wouldn't turn the other cheek, I'm just telling you right now. I would just say, "Okay, you got one." But all over this house, if I could get you to stand, as I'm closing, I just want to say that as we go across the lake, as we go farther and we go deeper into the presence of God, as Jesus gives us provision and says, "Come, follow me, and I'll give you everything." Don't have doubt. Don't have fear. Although it's easy to doubt. It's easy to fear. And I want to encourage some people in the house of God tonight that no matter what you go through in life, my third point is this. You've got to affirm His presence. What does affirm mean? Affirm means, my next one, please, to state as a fact, to assert strongly and publicly. You've got to affirm Him in every single thing that you do. Now, I'm not saying be weird. I'm not saying that when you're at your job site and you stub your toe, say, "Thank you, Jesus." Or someone really is getting on your nerves and you just start speaking in tongues at them thinking that that's going to solve anything, because it's not. I'm not saying to be weird. I'm saying that in all that we do, what the enemy wants from you, when you come through the storm and you're feeling all high and mighty, and then all of a sudden you've got 3 inches of water inside your apartment because your hot water heater broke, he wants you just to give up. What the heck? It's not worth it. I'm just done. I'm done. I'm done. I'm done. Just the little things. Sometimes the little things that gives you the headache, sometimes the little things that will just stub your toe and make you to just get off balance and go in another direction, the enemy would want nothing more than for you to take that and just throw in the towel. But when you don't, you don't even have to verbally say anything. When someone comes up to you and just tells you off and tells you everything that's on their mind, and you're just this and that, and you stand there and you say, "All right." That's showing the enemy that he has no control over your anger, no control over your frustration or your stress or your anxiety, because those things are not of God. Those things are of the world. And when we press in and we make it to the other side of the lake, we don't let the stress and the anxiety and the things of the world attach itself to us. Yeah, water comes inside the boat, but we just go ahead and scoop it out. The more we stand here and argue about if we're going to scoop it out or not, the more water's going to get in the boat. Amen? All over this house, if we could just bow our heads. Lord, we love you, God. We thank you for provision. We thank you for endurance tonight. And Lord, I pray a special, supernatural outpouring of endurance to rise up in us tonight, God. Lord, I pray, God, that as we go home, Lord, that your spirit that is strength to our weakness would follow us. It would go before us. It would travel on our sides. Lord, that as we live our life, and Lord, we try to go from glory to glory and we go deeper in your presence, God, I pray that when we feel like giving up, God, that you would be that strength inside of us that would have us to hold on until the end. Lord, I thank you for all that you do. With all the heads bowed and all the eyes closed, there's going to be no embarrassment. I'm not going to call you out. You're going to stay right where you are. If you've never given your heart to Christ and you're going across this lake of life by yourself and you need Christ to come into your life, let me just raise your hand right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. I see that hand. Everybody in this house, pray this prayer after me. Lord, I need you more than I've ever needed you. Come into my heart. Save me. I believe that you are God. And I believe that your blood is washing me clean right now. Give God praise in this house. Thank you, Lord. We love you. We thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.